I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Where shall I be saved from my enemies? I will call upon the Lord. Again after me. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Where shall I be saved from my enemies? I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth and blessed. Salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Page 304. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world. For sinners crucified. Holy sacrifice. Lamb of God, behold the Lamb. Crown him, worthy is the mentioned this morning during our Sunday school class, because in our class we're leading into Exodus 15, which Exodus 15, the whole chapter, is a song service, a celebration following the deliverance through the Red Sea. Okay? Thank you, Abby. And so we were talking this morning about hymns and songs, and the important part that the worship music plays in worship. And I said, you know, the interesting thing, all four songs in our call to worship this morning are songs that we did not know prior to getting this hymn book a dozen years ago. And we sing these songs all the time, and we love them. So this hymn book's got a lot of the old ones in, got some new stuff, got some good stuff. We love to sing. Page 296, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God. Glory to the King of Kings. Hosanna, Hosanna. lift up your name with heart full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Now let's be standing as we sing page 514. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him and lift up His holy name. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him and lift up His holy name. Singing hallelujah. My Lord, we exalt Him on high. Oh, I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him and lift up His holy name. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Unto Jesus my Lord, we exalt Him on high. Oh, I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. And lift up His holy name. And lift up His holy name. Thank you. You may be seated. A couple things I would like to mention in prayer. First of all, remember Ted and his family lost a brother unexpectedly. They've been asking prayer for a long time for his brother in Cumberland with Lou Gehrig's disease, but this brother passed away suddenly this week. And remember Ted and his family. It's a different brother than we've been praying for. So remember that family for sure. Also, if you would please, like you remember, my wife's family, her mother passed away a year ago yesterday. So especially remember Charlie, a little bit of a tough time for him. So just remember all of them. Are there any others you'd like to mention that we didn't mention this morning? Nice suspenders, Keith. Railroad tracks, that's the deal? Okay. Any others? If not, then a show of hands for any unspoken request you would have. Yeah, so Ruth Morris, suffering from the shingles. So remember her. Let's bow our heads. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can be here today. What a blessing it is, Lord, that You have provided with us a clear parking lot and an opportunity to get here to church so that we might, unlike some of our brethren to the northeast that are struggling this morning in blizzard conditions, we're just grateful, Lord, that we're able to be here today. And we ask Your blessing upon us. Be with the requests that have been made, Lord, as we think about Ted certainly having lost a brother. I would imagine that'll happen to me someday, but I can't fathom what that is like. And we ask You, Lord, to be with him. And Lord, we ask You to be with all the others that were mentioned, help us, Lord, as we continue to strive to serve You as best we can. Make a difference, Lord, wherever we might be. We'll give You all the praise as we ask these things in Thy precious name. Amen. Before I dismiss the junior worship, I would like to, I guess he's still down finishing up with the hot chocolate sale. But Alexa, go tell your brother to get up here. They were at Bible quiz last Sunday, and we drove home in the snow. I called Edna, I called Roy, I said, you guys stay where you are, we'll bring the kids home. So instead of coming down 65 miles an hour, about 40, 15, we came about 40 miles an hour. But we got everybody home safe and sound. They did a good job. Michelle answered her first question ever during a quiz and was great. Alyssa did a nice job. And Darren Lexa did too. And I think I heard a door again. Here they come. Come on up here. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Alexa answered her very first question during real competition quiz, and she did so after missing her first opportunity. She jumped on a quote, and she knew it, and she forgot it, and sat down, started to cry. Rhonda called timeout, and Darren leans over to his sister and says, "Alexa, don't worry. I missed a question last year. I cried for 2 months." And then, but in the second quiz, this young fella had jumping beans in his pocket. He quizzed out on the ninth question of the 20-question quiz. He quizzed out after missing one. So he was jumping on every question, and they did a really good job. We'll give him a round of applause. Okay. That's it. Junior worship dismissed to go downstairs as the rest of us turn to page number 599. All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last, Jesus is Lord. Announcements this morning. Note, please, that the Sweetheart Breakfast was postponed yesterday. It will be held this coming Saturday. So, man, everything that you have agreed to bring yesterday, bring next Saturday. Show up at 8. Breakfast is at 9. And ladies' meeting following next Saturday. Everything else is there pretty clearly in the bulletin. Please mark your calendars for our revival. We never have as many people here on Sunday night as I think we ought to. Tim's band is so good, all right? And we owe it to them to bring out a bigger crowd than we have in years past. And a decent crowd, but you know, we probably ought to charge admission. If we sold tickets, we'd probably have more people. Yeah? Okay? You ever heard that story about the guy that had a couch he wanted to get rid of, and he put it out on the front lawn? And said free, nobody took it. Put a sign on it, said $100, and somebody stole it. Yeah. So, but anyway, we won't charge admission for Tim's band, but it's the last Sunday in March. So let's support them and their ministry for sure, and of course all the other things that go in the revival. Also, again, I do want to emphasize the support you guys have given to Darren and his hot chocolate project. You know, Russell, that Facebook post you put out was really nice. You know, I really appreciate that. And so it's one more week, okay? One more week, and then the hot chocolate will be done. But It looks like he's probably going to raise in the neighborhood $250 till it's all said and done, because he wanted to help the orphans. And that's the way we came up with it. So thank you all very much for that. At this time, I'll ask our ushers to come forward and collect our morning offering. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here. We ask your blessing upon us as we have gathered. Help us to use these offerings for the uplifting of thy kingdom according to thy will. Bless each and every gift, both the gift and the giver, no matter how large or small. In thy name we pray. Amen. We got some birthdays today. Who we got? Peggy's is Wednesday. Who else was today? Somebody was today. Oh, okay. Okay. Let's sing happy birthday to Peggy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peggy in celebration of her birthday this week. We ask your blessing upon her. We're grateful, Lord, for the leadership position she has agreed to take over here in the Sunday school. And all, Lord, that she has done in the past, and we know, Lord, you have in store for her in the future here at the church. Bless her on her birthday. In thy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. All right. Denise, you ready to reprise that special for us?
Let your word fall on us and bring forth the fruit you transcribed over a period of 2,000 years in times of war and in days of peace by kings, physicians, tax collectors, farmers, fishermen, singers, and shepherds. The marvel is that a library so perfectly cohesive could have been produced by such a diverse crowd over a period of time which staggers the imagination. Jesus, its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God is its end. The Word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness. The message of life to the hopeless and the brave.
Thank you, Denise. At least the next time or two you see DC, it won't be you. Okay? But thank you for reprising that, because she sang that when we were away on clergy couples retreat, and everybody said, boy, you really missed it. So I wanted to hear it. Thank you very much. Ephesians chapter 6. This will not be an unfamiliar passage to you. You've heard this one before. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse number 10. Now, I like the first word, finally. A lot of times as we preach, we've got a couple of points that we like to, I might tell you up front, I might say, I've got 3 points I want to make, and when I get to point number 3 and I was saying, finally, then you can stop, look at your watches and everything, you know we're getting close to the end, okay? So, but in this case, it's not that he's over or finished. Sometimes when we say finally, it's because that's the point we want to make. So I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren. Okay? And it's just like that when you're telling your kids some points you want to get across, you know, and you save the big, and finally, okay? So it's a big deal. And the Apostle Paul, I think, is making a big deal here about how we are to be in a kind of a battle mode here as Christians. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Read along with me aloud, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we look at that, as we get to the finally, let's briefly touch on what preceded that. Because Ephesians is a pretty good book. Chapter 1, The first chapter of Ephesians talks about Christians' possessions in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3 says that we have every spiritual blessing. Every. We as Christians possess every spiritual blessing. God's not holding anything back that He could allow us to have. Chapters 2 and 3 talk about our position in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 19 calls us fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Fellow citizens. Not one greater than the other, but equal. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So Ephesians talks about our possessions in Christ, talks about our position in Christ, and chapter 4 to 6 talks about our purpose in Christ. So that's three P's you might want to try to remember from Ephesians: possession, position, and purpose. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, to have a work worthy of the calling. Our purpose. To do stuff worthy of the name Christian. And Paul concludes by telling us, in order to carry this out, that we need to be strong using what? The whole armor of God. First, notice in verse 10, it says, in the Lord and the power of His might. This is a power beyond our own. And the strength comes from putting on the armor. You guys know me. I love to umpire. Looking forward, looking all this snow out here. Pitchers and catchers reported this week in Major League Baseball, you know. And I know by the end of March, you know, 5 weeks away, I'll be on the baseball field umpiring baseball again. And I'm good. I'm a good umpire. You know, I got an ego. I don't mind sharing that. I take pride in controlling a game, making the right calls, knowing the rules. I was up here at Tawnytown last summer. Okay? Now, again, 60 years old, a little heavier than I ought to be, don't move quite like I used to. Okay? But when there's a runner on base, runner on first base, the base umpire on a two-man system is in the grass between the pitcher's mound and where the second baseman would play. All right? Right-handed batter hit a sharp low-line drive right at me. Okay? And I tried to get out of the way, and it caught the end of my toe. Okay? Barely even slowed the ball down. Would have headed right for the second baseman. Good opportunity to turn double play. The instant the ball hit my toe, hands up, dead ball. And the coach and the team that affected greatly was highly upset. He said, nah, you're part of the field of play. That's not a dead ball. I said, dead ball. Okay, so we go, continue on. You know, put the runners back, da-da-da-da-da. And they're over there scrounging through the rule book. And I could hear them. I heard somebody verbalize the section that I knew was right. It was a dead ball. And he apologized to me afterwards. Yeah, you got to know. Okay? You got to know in order to do it. And no amount of desire to be a good umpire can make me one without putting on the gear, okay, and knowing the rules. Knowing the rules. Why we need it? Look at the second part of verse 11. That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? Wiles. Crafty old guy. Okay? You may not know where he's coming from. Surprise attacks and all that stuff. You know, you've heard me say before, devil can tempt me with cooked spinach and I'm a rock. I don't like cooked spinach. He ain't going to tempt me with cooked spinach. He's going to pick something else that he knows is a weakness of mine. All right? So you got to be ready. You got to be ready. He is the toughest foe we will ever face. It's ironic that the Olympics are going on right now. And I just can't imagine the pressure that those athletes are under, one shot in 4 years. We all have a bad day. What if that's your bad day? And I'm sure that has happened to some of them. Now, some of them, I know that they post in personal best and still finishing way out of the running. which is good. They can feel pride, but just the pressure that they are under. And some of them come in with pressure that they place upon themselves. They're expected to win. Sean White didn't do so well a week ago, okay? Bodie Miller this morning, I don't know if you heard, got the bronze medal, the oldest skier ever to get a medal at the Olympics, 36 years old. Pretty cool, all right? Sorry for the spoiler. I just should give you a spoiler alert. But anyway, it'll be on TV tonight, you know, prime time. But anyway, but there's a big event, so a lot of pressure and so forth. Pressure on us is great as well to achieve and do what God wants us to do. And let's take a look at that whole armor. Verse 14 through 18. First off, it says the belt of truth. Now, what's a belt do? Holds everything together. Belt holds everything together. Lose your belt and you might end up on Funniest Home Videos. $10,000. But you lose truth. It all comes crashing down too. Guard the truth. Always be truthful. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. You wear the breastplate in this area, protect the heart. And the heart is the link between concept, thinking of something, and action, doing something. And Reverend Jesse Jackson said it best when he said, if my mind can conceive it and my heart can believe it, then I can achieve it. So that breastplate that protects the heart, that is the thing, the link between thinking of something and doing something. If your heart believes you can do it, then that's the missing link sometimes. I like the next one, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Anybody ever heard of something called Fly Lady? Okay? If you go, I guess, is she still out there? Okay? You type in Fly Lady in your search and sign up. You will get 5 or more emails a day with suggestions of how to clean house and how to keep things organized and things like that. Okay? And one of the things that she says is get up in the morning and put your shoes on. Because when you put your shoes on, then you mean business. Okay? Get up in the morning and put your shoes on first thing. Get serious about the gospel message. Be ready to share it. Put your shoes on. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next comes the shield of faith. That was not going to take it lying down. It's our faith that keeps us strong in the face of adversity. We talked in a Sunday school class this morning about the children of Israel, the Red Sea, and all that, and how they were all poor, woe is me, you know, and how God delivered them. And we talked about, have we ever been between the proverbial rock and the hard place? And how long do we stay there? How long do we let it keep us down? It's human nature to feel that way for a period of time. But the depth of our spirituality is determined as how quickly we get out of there. It's a faith that helps us stand against the wiles of the devil. And this one, next one, has meant more to me recently because of a song. Now, I shared this again in Sunday school this morning. The helmet of salvation. The knowledge of salvation keeps out the doubts that Satan tries to put in there every day. Helmet protects the head. That's where our brain is. And the knowledge of salvation, of knowing that the devil cannot defeat us because we know in our hearts that we are saved. The words from a song go like this. Do you know what it's like for God to be your friend, to talk to him with nothing in between? Do you know what it's like when your day comes to an end, to sleep in peace because your heart is clean? Do you know what it's like when the accuser comes your way to look him squarely in the eye with confidence and say, he has forgiven me. That knowledge, the helmet of salvation, the knowledge that you are saved and you're going to live your life that way, has the devil running scared. Has the devil running scared. And then we go to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can you be a good Christian without knowing the Word of God? I think you can. But you can't be the one that God wants you to be. We can fake it pretty good. But we can't go on the offensive. See, that's the only part of the armor that is an offensive weapon. All the others are defensive. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is an offensive weapon, and we can't go on the offensive unless we know the Word of God. As one said, if you want to know the God of the Word, then you've got to know the Word of God. Maybe we'll write that one down. That's pretty good. If you want to know the God of the Word, then you've got to know the Word of God. And lastly, it is this word you're always looking for. Lastly, pray. Pray. Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew to watch and pray. Why? So they will enter not into temptation. And praying, that's something we all can do. We may have a little difficulty figuring out these King James words sometimes. We may not have difficulty finding the time to sit down and open the Bible. But we can all pray. We can all pray. If we put on the whole armor of God, then we can make a difference in people's lives. Steve said to me this morning, and great to have you guys with us here again today. You're welcome anytime. But the church that he has been attending here of late is a startup church. And for whatever reason, they did not have church this morning. I'm sure it's a snow issue, whatever. Decided to come and share with us. But the church he had gone to prior to that one was, Crossroads? Crossroads down here? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, off 140. And he said, I'll never go to an 800-member church again. I said, Steve, I can assure you this one will never be an 800-member. but at the same time, I can look back over, man, we in our house, I have an office upstairs. Right. Well, Darren and Lex are getting a little bigger, 10 and 8, you know, they're with us all the time and probably going to be with us all the time. And we decided to move my office downstairs and give Darren his own room. What a mess. You know, I mean, yeah, it's never as easy as it sounds, believe me. Okay, but in the process of the snow day Thursday and yesterday and last Saturday, pretty much got all accomplished. But, man, we have so many pictures, and I was just looking through some of them and thinking about over the 38 years of ministry here, and for a couple of you, it goes beyond that, all right, all the people, the lives we have touched. I'm grateful for the 50 or so that are here today, all right, but there were 40 or 50 20 years ago. Not the same 50 today as it was back then. We have had opportunity over the years to impact the lives of a lot of people. We have made the difference in people's lives, and we can continue to do that if we put on the whole armor of God. Keep fighting, because that's what Jesus wants us to do. Use all the weapons at our disposal. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today. Lord, what a blessing it is to think about the people that this ministry of this church has touched over the years. And Lord, let us look forward with vigor to the challenges that are out there in the days, weeks, months, and years to come, that we might be ready for that battle and ready for that challenge, because we have put on the whole armor of God. Help us, Lord, to be as effective ministers for you as we can possibly be. In thy name we pray. You'll turn your hymn books to page number 602 for the closing today. We're at church camp. We always sang on consecration night. We'd sing a couple of verses of Just As I Am. I'm strumming the auto harp, leading them singing. Then you usually get a couple people come forward. And then we'd switch to this, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that was the one that always did the trick. Okay? And then they would come up, and then we followed up with, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. And if anybody was hesitating, that did it. But I have decided to follow Jesus, putting on that whole armor of God. Page 602. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Not turning back, not turning back. Fellowship and support that we share one with another. We would ask you, Lord, to continue blessing upon us as we endeavor to serve you as best we can. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.